720 WGN, I'm John Landecker, welcoming to the program Bonnie McDonald, who's the president and CEO of Landmarks Illinois, because I saw this article in Block Club about preserving historic landmarks, not only in Illinois, but also in the city of Chicago. And check out this resume just for a second here, Bonnie. I mean, you know it, because it's your resume. Bachelor's degree of art from University of Minnesota. Master's degree in historic preservation from Cornell. And as I understand this, you're co-chair also of the mayor's monument project. Is that right?
Yes, it is an honor to have this opportunity to give public service. And all of that sounds very fancy, of course. But ultimately what I do is I help people save places for people. So
right.
That is the work that we do at Landmarks Illinois.
Well, I'm glad you came on because I'd like you to talk about the general situation that exists now. And as I just mentioned, I was made aware of it by an article on the Block Club. What's the basic dilemma, if that's not the right word, situation? Where are things at? You as the landmark preserver and those who are on the other side. I'm not taking sides right now, but I just want it for informational purposes. Where is everything at these days?
Yes. Well, I think we need to avoid broad generalizations for just a moment to say that there are plenty of good works that are being done in preservation, and of course, Chicago being the United States' capital of architecture, if not one of the world's capital of architecture, has always done a wonderful job of looking at ways to meet the challenge that can be present in reusing historic buildings, and we oftentimes work for decades to find an adaptive reuse, as we call it, mm-hmm. for some of those places that we see incredible potential. And those listeners who might travel on Eisenhower probably have seen the incredible transformation of the old Cook County Hospital. We advocated for that for over 20 years and just shows potential. And the old post office, if you keep going, you go right under the old post office, one of the largest adaptive reuse projects in the nation. You know, we're so proud to have these examples of not only reuse, but sustainable reuse design here in our city. So I think there's far more good things to talk about.
Sure.
You know, we can get into the most endangered as well and why we do this list every year.
Oh, I can certainly understand why. I mean, I'm all for, whenever possible, preserving landmarks, giving places landmark status, because basically you're also preserving history. I was in, not to drop names or countries, but quite a few years ago I was in Florence, Italy, and I was visiting some friends, and they won't let you change a window in your house in Florence without getting it okayed by the historical landmark or whatever their commission is, because they don't want that. They don't want the history of that city to be changed at all. Mm-hmm. And they're very strict about what they do and do not allow. We're not at that point. And the article pointed out the Century and Consumers Building at 202 220 South State, the Eugene S. Pike House in Beverly, and I might have missed one or two, but I thought the idea was that the federal government included $52 million for the demolition of the Century and Consumers Building, which obviously would catch your interest immediately. Why would they want to commit that much money to that endeavor if those buildings are still worthy?
Mm-hmm. The situation behind the listing of the Century and Consumers is truly it's a disappointing and sad tale, John. And we hope that we can turn it around by continuing to bring attention with the public. So in this case, the scenario is that there was a private developer that was proposing to reuse these two buildings. Now, this is on the corner of Adams and State Street. For anybody who goes downtown, works downtown, it's on the southwest corner of that intersection. very prominent. And those buildings were looked at as potential reuse for residential. And you probably know, have seen lots of residential being built in the downtown area. Great adaptive reuse. What occurred after the city really led this process to do a request for proposals is that the judiciary in the federal courthouse, which you may know backs right up to these buildings, they brought forward some concerns about security. And what we know is that there are design solutions to alleviate any one of these concerns, but the judiciary has pushed so hard that the city has really retracted that RFP. They let go of the developer, and that's how this $52 million was put in for demolition. And it makes no economic sense. It doesn't make environmental sense, as well as you said, the stories that these buildings tell as well. And we would have a vacant lot, you know, half this block, essentially, would be a right. vacant lot for presumably right. a long time.
So if I understand you correctly, everything was go for this location until a developer backed out. And no one has picked up the ball since then, so we arrive at the place that we're at. If someone would come forward as a developer and take it over, that would be the end of the discussion on this building, or is there more?
Well, if I may make one small note, is that the developer didn't walk away in this case. It was the developer was ready to go, and they were in design phase, actually, proposing to purchase the buildings, which would have been great for the taxpayer. You know, we would have had a private developer using this, you know, this site. The taxpayers wouldn't have had to pay for demolition. And I believe strongly, as does the entire preservation community here in Chicago, that another developer could see these as very valuable buildings. So why would we spend $52 million in public funding when we could actually make some money for the public?
Well, it seems pretty logical to me, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's logical to everybody else. I mean, if you have a structure and it's still viable, it would seem to me, no matter where that structure is, if the opportunity existed to reuse it, as opposed to tearing it down and leaving an empty lot and building a new building, maybe or maybe not in the future, it would just seem prudent, economical, on every level, just to, flip that building, so to speak, or, you know, rehab, or whatever the term you want to apply to it.
Well, John, I want to hire you as a spokesperson. You just said exactly the words that we talk about, which are just logical. And it's, you know, oftentimes we find an adaptive reuse that is what a community wants, what it needs. You know, in some cases it's a residential, it's affordable housing. We find a way to put office or nonprofits into a historic building. It makes economic sense. It makes environmental sense because the greenest building is the one already built, as we like to say. We don't take that building that has all that energy already stored in it, put it in a landfill, and then construct a new building, as well as just losing the significance of these. I mean, this is the most high-profile street, I think you could argue, in addition to Michigan Avenue, in the downtown area. And you know, we don't want another, block 37, where we had a vacant lot for quite some time, there on our main commercial district.
And block 37, it's been a while since I've been down in that area, but the last time I was in that area regularly, it was empty, usually. I mean, for no reason other than no one wanted to go in, except maybe Channel 2. I think they built a studio on the street level. I don't know. For a long time, it just seemed like nobody was in there. I'd go to work downtown and there was no one there in the block 37. Anyway, I don't want people to think, by the way, I just want to remind you that listeners, we're talking to Bonnie McDonald, who's the president and CEO of Landmarks Illinois. This is not just a state situation, or not just a Chicago situation, rather. The article I read today also pointed out the Elks Lodge, number 64 in Rockford, the Gilson Park in Wilmette, and the Will County Courthouse in Joliet as places that are they on the endangered list? Is that a correct term?
That's right. They're listed on our most endangered historic places in Illinois. And as you noted, John, Landmarks Illinois is the only statewide historic preservation mm-hmm. advocacy organization. And we serve people in all parts of the state, giving them assistance. And in this particular case, some well-needed media attention for the opportunities
right.
around yeah. the properties you just mentioned.
Yeah, and I'm very happy to do that now. And also, anytime you'd care to come out in the future, feel free. The microphones are always open. If something is granted landmark status in the state of Illinois, in the city of Chicago, what comes with that?
Well, there are different levels of designation. And here, the local designation, you're mentioning the for example, Chicago landmarks. That's what oftentimes people are hearing in this listening area, a landmark building. And in that case, depending on where you are, which municipality, there's an ordinance in place to review building permits. You know, as you all know, you're doing something on your house, you're going to get a building permit for that.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same with a landmark property, but it goes through an additional layer of review, which actually is very quick. They pass over 90% of those permits within the staff, so just to say it's not an onerous process, but it's about protecting the stories that these buildings have to tell, the sense of place, the community that they create, and preventing their demolition. So a landmark property also goes through demolition permit review, and under very rare circumstances would a landmark property be allowed to be demolished.
This isn't exactly in the same vein, but I've been struck over the past couple of days with the story of this church that is being demolished because of fire, and the emotional attachment that the parishioners of that particular church have to the building itself being there, and what it meant to their families and christenings and marriages, et cetera, et cetera. So it's very easy to see that we as humans have emotional connections with buildings, whether they're churches or what was the other one I said? The Elks Lodge. I mean, there is that relationship, and it's quite obvious.
Well, thank you for putting that into such wonderful words, because we talk about places for people. You know, they're bricks and mortar, but they're more than that. They're really vessels of our memory. They're about our community and our individual identity. You just mentioned the place where you were christened, the place you might have been, married, you might have met your partner, the place you were born, like Old Cook
right.
County Hospital. You know, these are living, breathing places that have stories to tell and stories they will tell. So it's far more than just a place on a map, which is what we think of landmarks. They're about our communities, and not only about the past, but the future as well.
Bonnie, thank you so much for being with us. Is there something that we, quote-unquote, the public, can do to inform ourselves and aid in your discussion about landmarks?
Well, John, you've given us a very important, microphone here, and we certainly appreciate your allowing us to do that. And for those who want to take the next step, great first step is to go to our website, which is landmarks, that was an S, landmarks.org, and look at each one of these properties. Within them, we have what the next steps are. So what can you do as a member of the public? If you're moved by the stories of the Pike House, as you said, or Gilson Park, you can take action. You can also join our social media. You can follow us, on a number of social media platforms, and also get our free e-news alerts. These are not the only 5 properties we're working on. Landmarks Illinois is actually working on over 200 of these across the state at any one time, and working to help people save the places that are important to them and their community. So we hope you all will get engaged in that process.
Well, thank you for being with us, and good luck in the future, and thanks again for coming on WGN, and as I say, Bonnie, anytime, just let us know.